This is the Friday, December 9th, 2016 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Despite profit-taking, good weather, and a bearish stocks report, the commodity markets finished mostly higher. For the week, March wheat rose 12 cents and the nearby corn contract moved 12 and a quarter cents higher. A 25-cent gain in the soy complex was undone by South American weather and the WASD report revealing higher global stocks. However, the January soybean contract managed to finish a dime higher for the week. January meal stayed with the trend, adding $6.30 per ton. In the softs, March cotton lost 24 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures fell 23 cents. The livestock sector gained back some of last week's losses as the February cattle contract added $1.66, January feeders put on $1.35, and the February lean hog contract increased 14% over last week, adding $7.52. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index increased 77 basis points. Crude oil fell back after last week's 12% gain, losing 18 cents per barrel. Gold fell for the sixth week, losing $1,590 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index gained more than 5 points to finish the week at 391.60. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Tom Fitzenmaier. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
We're excited to have you here, but before we get started, you can listen to our market discussion anytime by downloading our market analysis podcast from our website. That's at iptv.org/M2M. Let's take a look at this wheat market. Finally, a move to the upside, 12 cents on the week. Is it this cold snap coming in that's really driving this market?
I think so. And we didn't, exports weren't all that bad this week. I think the wheat market's probably trying to establish a base here. It's probably going to be a choppy sort of affair. But I think over time, you're going to start to see wheat start to kind of work up a little bit. I think we ended up March wheat around, I don't know, 408, 410, somewhere in that range. I think it's got a shot at moving up in that 430, 435 range, maybe even. So I wouldn't let myself be too bearish wheat at these levels. I think there's some potential there.
Do you think a lot of these winter wheat acres are going to be grazed off rather than harvested for grain? Or if we push into that 430, 440, does that pencil out enough for most guys to run the combines?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that there's been some calves left out there to graze that grain. Now, with the weather turning here, that's probably going to come to a screeching halt here. But I'm not super familiar with the economics of production of wheat, but I would guess you get up into those higher levels and there'll be people starting to think about it again. I mean, there's been some talk about some of that wheat acres going to beans at part of a contributor to this big supposed bean increase we're going to have next year.
And let's talk about that bean acreage increase from a different point of view, from the point of view of corn. We could see some wheat acres go to beans. We could see some cotton acres go to beans. But the bulk of that 4 or 5 million acre increase is probably going to come out of this corn market. Would you say?
That's what they say.
Okay. Well, where do you stand on that, Tom Fitzenmaier?
I hear that after harvest. Every year, beans are a little higher than corn. Everybody's all excited. I'm going to plant beans because I'm so broke I don't have any money to plant corn. And you know, beans are going to be great. And I don't think there's any question that we had great bean yields last year. But I also don't think there's any question that most people aren't going to plug those kind of yields into their...
Right.
Into their budgets for next year. So I'm sure there's going to be some switching, but I don't know that, you know, people like to grow corn. Corn yields have been pretty darn good too. And I understand that the new crop bean price relative to new crop corn, that ratio favors beans, but it only favors it if you sell them. If you're just sitting there, well, I'm going to plant beans and hope, that does not going to work out so good for you, because you got to remember, we have almost a 500 million carryout of beans. South America, except for a little pocket in Argentina, looks quite good, and their production's up 24-26%, something like that. I mean, it's a big jump. And then they're talking about a big jump in acreage here too. So, You know, if you're going to plant beans and it's profitable and it looks great, you better get some of them sold.
Get some of the markets. Well, as long as we're talking beans, we do have a question from one of our Twitter followers. Excuse me, a Facebook follower. And we encourage all of you to send in your questions via Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at Market to Market on both those sites. This question comes from James in Kremlin, Oklahoma. He's asking, with this potential big increase in planted bean acres next year, what is the downside price risk? Let's say weather turns around in South America. Brazil does do their 102, 103 million metric tons. We plant 4 or 5 million more bean acres on top of an already large carryout. What's our downside risk in this market?
And I understand that China's been a good, big buyer of beans, but they're not going to be buying that many beans. We got new crop beans as high as 1040, 1043, I think, recent, just in the last few days. I think you could see that and easily an 8 in front of that, possibly as 7. I mean, they're talking potential for the carryout getting as high as 700-800 million under the right circumstances here. So, I mean, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just saying there's huge downside and huge risk. If you're one of these guys that wants to go out and plant beans, great, but you better get them covered somehow.
Did the market react to Governor Branstad's appointment to Chinese ambassador on the soybean side? He's got such a rapport with the Chinese leaders. Did that inspire some confidence?
It did in me.
Okay.
But I kept kind of watching for the market, but I didn't ever got a sense during the week that the market was responding to that.
Okay.
I thought it was a positive because we've had all this hand-wringing over fighting with the Chinese and afraid it's going to hurt our ag exports and all that. So I really kind of thought maybe there would be a stronger reaction to it. I think it's a good thing, and I think he's going to be a good buffer between the two governments.
Two leaders.
Yeah.
Well, now let's circle back to the corn market. We had another bump this week, 12 cents to the upside. If I've got old crop corn in the bin, am I aggressively selling up here at 360, or do I hold on and let this thing keep running?
I don't know if you're aggressive, but I guess you'd probably start, and they'd just start feeding some in here. The problem with the corn market is there's tons of it around, and they're going to use that basis just like a wagon, end gate in a wagon. I know nobody uses wagons with end gates anymore. But
some of us do. Some of us old school guys do.
Those people can understand. But every time you get up here, they're going to close that down a little bit, widen the basis out, and when it goes down, they're going to open up the end gate and try and draw more corn in. So I have a sense that a lot of farmers are holding out for a minimum of around 330 on the cash market, sort of central Iowa type markets. And I think they'd really be aggressive sellers if they get up to 350. So I think we're kind of, that's part of the reason we're sort of locked in this trading range, is that whenever, you know, you get March corn up in that 360, 365 range, that translates to the sort of the lower range of those sales. So, and end users understand that too. So their interest tends to fall off when you get up to those levels. And then it all gets sort of rekindled down at that 340, 335 range.
So we're just going to have to grind through.
We're stuck, yeah.
Looking at the new crop with a transfer of acres into beans, is there opportunity here to see this new crop corn D17 pop a little bit?
That got to like 388 on Friday. I can't get it with that potential sitting here, and I understand the carryout's big, but ethanol demands have been quite good and could get better. Exports have been pretty darn good, and we're in a sort of driver's seat, at least probably through March for corn exports. So, I guess if you got up in that 405, 410 range, I would certainly start making new crop sales. Okay. Figuring that there's a chance under the right circumstances, a weather issue or whatever, that you could maybe even go to 450. But I'd sure start at those lower levels and
get north of four and
some kind of a scale up program from there. Yeah.
Let's talk this livestock market. Live cattle up $1.66. We ran higher, $20 higher. We stepped back. Now are we looking to make another leg higher, or are we just on a step back before we head back to the basement?
Well, that's the question. I was looking at my charts before I came over to do the show, and that cattle market is in a nice little uptrending channel here. We went down Friday, sort of checked out that support level on that upward trending line. If that holds, then I think we're probably okay. If we start breaking through that, And then I think we've got problems. The problem is we still have a fair amount of beef around. We still have most of the buying's been done for the holidays, so that part is going to kind of go away. But having said that, you're heading into a period where sometimes weather can give you some pretty nice pops in cattle yet too. So I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, but there's a lot of numbers. There's a lot. I mean, despite the rally in pork, there's still a fair amount of that. I'm a little concerned about this rally in the dollar and the effect that's going to have. I mean, you can talk about we're mad at China or whatever, but if the dollar keeps going higher, that's a huge headwind for all of us trying to export.
Especially on
commodities.
The premium products like the meats.
Correct.
Feeder cattle, just following live cattle higher here as long as corn stays in the range?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, there's guys wanting to walk some corn off the farm by buying cattle. Historically, that doesn't usually work all that great, but I can see why they want to give it a shot. And we've had a nice rally in the cattle market that's maybe given them an opportunity to lock that in. So, I think that the demand probably for feeders is going to stay strong simply because of that.
Okay. Now, you alluded to it. We were talking about the live cattle markets. Lean hogs, Tom Fitzenmeyer, $7 plus to the upside this past week. What happened?
Yeah, totally caught everybody off guard. Well, we've got lighter numbers. Weights have come down a little bit. We had a pretty darn good export number. We've got excellent packer demand for these hogs. And, yeah, you've had a big jump up. Now, you know, the USDA's prediction for hog prices is really quite a bit lower than where we're at today. So it seems to me if you get these June hogs up in that 76 to 77 plus area, you need to be looking at making some sales if you've got market risk on any of the hogs you're producing.
Looking at, I know this was a concern earlier in the year, slaughter capacity, you know, hanging space for these animals. Last week, if I remember correctly, we had the largest hog slaughter in history, and this week we put another $7 on the market. Does that tell you that maybe we don't need to be as concerned about capacity?
Well, probably. It doesn't really matter because we got a lot of capacity coming at us next fall. And so that's going to change the dynamics of all that, too. And that's going to be really interesting to see how much those plants are willing to compete with one another and possibly pay up for hog prices. So that's something coming on next fall that I think is going to be pretty interesting.
But you made the point earlier, it's those summer months where we're not going to have that capacity online.
Right.
And what was your target, 77?
77 on the June and July hogs. I think anything north of that, and you got to look at it pretty hard.
All right. One of the stories that's been ongoing here, well, particularly since the election, has been the drop in gold prices. We've got the Federal Reserve Board meeting this next week. Do you think they're going to raise interest rates?
Absolutely.
So is gold going to continue to slide?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, why would you buy it? What would be the reason to own gold right now? I can think of none. And interest rates are going to work higher. Probably going to have another rate next summer. I would guess. So you've got to. I mean, that's going to impact land values too. You got rising interest rates, lower income,
right?
Potential.
Commodity prices, rates.
That's going to be a headwind for land values too.
It's a pinch. Well, Tom Fitzenmeyer, thanks so much for taking the time to join us this week.
Thanks, Mike.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but Tom and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. While you're there, check out this week's M2M podcast, as Peter Tubbs tells us about why young veterinarians are working in remote, underserved regions of the country. And then join us again next week for our feature story to see how it all plays out. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.